welcome everyone to Thunderdome Metal Reviews, a church of heavy metal where we review metal albums allegedly. Today, we're here to talk about something that is not an alleged metal album, but I am allegedly Reverend Ben Dangerously. With me as always are Gabe, Tracy, David, gentlemen, how are you?
Doing good on this November evening. Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah.
Alleged November, alleged evening.
I'm on this podcast, or so the Germans would have us believe.
Yeah, they would. Especially the Spanish ones. The worst kind.
For sure. Well, tonight we have gathered to talk about my pick for an album that was released in October. And I chose the 8th studio album by Angelus Apatrida, Aftermath, released on October 20th, 2023 on Century Media Records. Had a runtime of 50 minutes and 41 seconds. The band is Jose E. Izquierdo on bass, Victor Valera on drums, Guillermo Escudero on guitars and vocals, David A. Alvarez on guitars. They did have some guest musicians come in. Jamie Josta played in some vocals. Pablo Garcia, additional tracks. Todd Latore and Sho Hai also did some additional vocals. And this was mixed and mastered by Zeus.
Of course it was. It's Todd Latore, for those of you who don't speak Spanish. So he's not Spanish. He's the singer for Queensryche, I guess. I didn't know him until this.
Yeah. He's the current singer.
The current singer, yes. No, I know, not the historical classical.
Oh, okay. I was kind of like, wait, that's him?
No. This isn't like Operation Mindcrime. But the guy who sings Operation Mindcrime now is this guy.
Well, one of them, because I'm sure Jeff Tate still does when he tours. But yeah. I honestly don't know how long he's been in Queensryche, so it could be like one of those things, or like Robert Trujillo is the longest serving bassist in Metallica kind of things.
And the best guitarist. As we've seen, the best guitarist in Metallica. Anyway, I know why you picked this, but why don't you tell us anyway?
Yeah,
why don't you tell us, Ben?
Let's hear it.
Why'd you do this?
Because I love their last two albums. And when I saw this was coming out, I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah, like, I saw this, and I'm like, I could pick this, but I don't know if somebody else in this podcast is going to pick it, so I'm safe not picking it. Yeah, like...
Did you guys review the 18 album?
We have not.
You didn't. You just both know it. Okay, because yes. I know we reviewed 21. That was one of my... I mean, that's not super... Well, that's pretty early in Thunderdome. It's one of the earlier albums. I was with the Grey today. I was like, I don't know if I'd give it that now. Anyway, that was my first experience with them, and I know all of us ate that fucking thing up. It wasn't the year-end best, but it was close, right? It was definitely...
It was like second.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was up there. And Gabe didn't review that album, though has listened to it now.
He listened to it. He caught up with us and listened to it, because that was how it was second, because it was like the only other album that all four of us listened to besides 1914.
Yeah. It was like close to the bottom of my top 25, which not to say that it wasn't good at all. But
it sounds
I
like you're
up.
Saying it's not good, man.
No. I mean, I was very excited about all 25 of those albums, man. So
yeah, for sure. This cover, man, staring at it is, I mean, all their covers are pretty intense, but man.
Their politics is well known. That's a...
No, yes, it is. And the previous album, I don't know how far back the sequence goes. It was like, was the revolt and here's what comes next?
Well,
so, I mean,
Cabaret Vet, Daylight, ATA, Guillotine is literally the name of the 2018 album. And I think I heard that and was like, Ben, you need to fucking check this out.
I mean, some of us lived under actual fascism for generations, so they come pretty hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where we were going, but I remember us listening to that on a road trip, and I was very impressed. Probably Baton Rouge.
Probably Baton Rouge.
No, it was 2018.
Stick.
That wasn't... I don't know then.
Yeah, I don't know. But I know we did. And I
it might have been... all that 2018 tour stuff we did.
Maybe.
You know, we should fight about it for the rest of the podcast. That's what we should do.
People need to know.
Why,
sounds like a plan.
Who did this? Why did you do this? Anyway, yes. So all of us have heard some of their albums. This is what I'm gleaning here.
It's a massive cover-up.
It's a massive, it just goes straight to the top. I somehow want to do a matchup of this cover and Corpse Grinder. I feel like for some reason there's, and I understand one is zombies and one is the capitalist class, but
I know what I want for Christmas.
Aren't they all zombies?
Yeah, aren't they all? So did this disappoint you, Ben, or did it live up to
a little bit? Honestly, yeah.
How many more?
Yeah, tell us more.
I mean, it's fine. You can tell. It sounded like they probably had more fun recording this, though I don't know that. It wasn't as pedal to the metal.
It was not.
Throttle. There was a lot more stylistic variance, which is not inherently a bad thing. But I really didn't think that any of the features that they brought in, excluding the guitarist, added anything. As a matter of fact, I found them all to detract from. They diluted Angelus Epitreta in a way that I did not appreciate.
I can see that. I listened to the last one because I was worried I was remembering wrong. Because I was like, I remember them coming harder than this, dog. And so I listened to that and I was like, okay, they did come harder than this. And I agree with you. I don't mind the cameos. I guess I'm in a, shockingly, a very similar place to Ben. I don't mind them, but I don't think they added, I don't know. It made me feel like I was gaslighting myself. I'm like, is this what this band sounds like? Whenever they would come on, right? And it's not. So, and again, I don't know the 2018 album. I have to confess, I think I've listened to it once, maybe. But I still thought this was fun. It was cool. I was like,
yeah, no, I mean, I don't hate this at all.
I agree with you. It's not. And the thing is, I need to retroactively raise that grade to give this one the grade I intend to give it, but that happens. I was, you know, you can talk to Dean Martin about what I did with the grades over time. Damn it, Dean Martin. How did you feel, Tracy? You're the one with the second most, right? Second most experience with this band. Maybe first? That doesn't matter. Disappointed, so, please.
I'd actually listened to the 2018 album prior to that. I kind of hit both of them very recently. Mm-hmm. So this one, I agree. I think actually the additions, Joss is the only one that really kind of for me came out as like off. But I feel like he's just kind of now like, hey, I'm going to make these kind of cry. Like, I think his podcast kind of connects with people. And it's like, hey, I'm down to do extra guest lyrics whenever you want to. And so they're like, yeah, jump in here, man. So I think that's kind of part of it because you're starting to see him just show up in all kinds of different shit. But this is, I'd rather enjoy this time quite a bit. I enjoyed kind of like the curveballs that they give because it's not just the previous two were more pure thrash. And they this were. One, it's kind of, there's a couple of changeups in it. And while outside of the 8.5 minute out song, which I think that one is a little too long, gets a little ballady as well. I think all these tracks slap. I mean, I'm a fan for this band, and this album is awesome.
Sure. Yeah, it's pretty good. I probably would like it, and it's so hard to always know, more if I hadn't liked the pure thrash that preceded it so much, right? I see Ben nodding, right? You're like, I guess that's an expectation thing. And it's hard. I know Ben and I both struggle with, like, you don't want to penalize a band for innovating, but... But is this that innovative? I'm sorry, I'm just like arguing with myself here. But
okay, features aren't innovating, I'm sorry. But like, not in their own right. But I think that you can say, okay, the band did this really well. And the other stuff, yeah, I mean, maybe they do it okay, but it's not their strong suit. And also you see that because they have to bring in features to make it happen. Like, I think that, you know, I'm not that experienced with this band, but I love that last record. And part of it was that it was so tight. And so just no holds barred, whatever, and very straight ahead thrash. Also, the song lengths were very appropriate, which I can't really say the same thing for this album, because there's like a few tracks where it's just like just like maybe a minute or so too long or a couple minutes too long. So I think on top of the fact that, like, you know, the last record just stylistically hung together better, this one comes off as more messy and kind of uneven because of those, partly because of the features. I mean, Joss just like throws a whole lot of metalcore on this that like really doesn't belong. It's not really part of their style. They're, you know, they're dabbling in a lot more melody than the last record too. And I don't know what they sound like before this. You know, this is their eighth record, right? So they, you know, they've obviously come a long way. They've been around for 20 years or so. I'd like to see if they have anything like melodically comparable on their previous records, because I just feel like it's just kind of weird. And it's also like nu metal-y in a way that I don't think also belongs with thrash.
Did you get a... I don't think those elements are present, at least in albums 6 and 7. And, I'm careful to throw this charge at anyone either, because I too want to eat, but, like, is this Tracy's infamous... What do you always say, chasing the dragon? Is this the thing, whenever you talk about... Basically, usually it's Dave Mustaine we're talking about. Anyway, any artist, like, I'm going to pop this up, or whatever it is, whatever shine I got to put this on to move units. And sometimes that comes from the record company, sometimes that comes from the promoter. We've had this conversation with Seven Dust, there were elements of that, but, like... And I guess there's no way for us to know what they're thinking. But part of me wondered, like, are they... Maybe they're trying to broaden their audience? I mean, there's only so many people that will buy hardcore Spanish thrash. I don't know the answer.
I don't really know the answer to that either. I'm sorry, Tracy, and I'll get out of the way so we can get in here in just a second. But I do think there is an element of that trying to expand the appeal, if for no other reason than they're breaking into the U.S. market, because they've actually had some tour dates over here. Now, they've been on festivals, like they were on Milwaukee Metal Fest back this summer, which Jamie Josta was very central in organizing and putting the band lineup together, which kind of speaks to that thing Tracy was alluding to before, that ever since his podcast, he's kind of become like a champion for all of metal and become a really big power player. So, I mean, I'm not saying he told them that they needed to do this, or he was like, hey, man, I'll get you into the United States, but you got to have me do a feature on your album. I don't think it's any of that. I think Jossa was just appearing on it because Jossa loves metal.
Yeah.
But I do think that there was a sense of, let's expand the sound just a little bit to try and break more into the U.S. market. And to Gabe's point about the new metal, I don't know that I would go necessarily that far, but it does remind me a little bit of Divine Intervention.
Interesting.
I see the Divine Intervention comments. And sidebar on the Josta, he actually owns the rights to Milwaukee Metal Fest now. Like, he went and bought them, so like he is the dude behind it now going forward. So, and he's already said they're doing one in 2024.
Is Avery from Milwaukee?
He's from Boston, I think.
Damn it, Gabe.
He's from Massachusetts. I think he's from Massachusetts. I think
the Boston Imperial breakdown radius is Greater Imperial Boston breakdown radius.
Breakdown rate. I don't know what that acronym is.
I have no idea.
Yeah, but I do think part of it may be coming into America and kind of like catching some hold here now. But also, I think, I don't know if you can quite go, hey, we're going to sell to mass appeal, because these lyrics don't quite have like, hey, let's take poppy, let's go poppy sensibilities here. Like, you're not really going to get much of it. And like,
well, I didn't say pop per se, but still, if you want airplay even on like 96, not like, even within metal, I think thrash is a pretty specific ride. I love it, but let's not pretend the youth is listening to a whole lot of thrash. I mean,
let's not pretend that the youth is like growing up on Metallica, because they're not. I mean,
precisely.
Not that they shouldn't, but
right. Well, and this is to Gabe's point earlier too. Like, this is their 8th studio album, so maybe they're like, you know, maybe they didn't just want to do a straight up thrash album, and it comes out of that more than anything else.
Yeah, I could.
That's totally their right, but I feel like they could probably accomplish. They are such killer musicians. Let me just put that out there. They are so good, and like the production just makes them sound like beasts, like total, like they're at the top of their game. Really, like they can play so well, and they could do so much more than what they're doing. But I think that the melodic stuff maybe doesn't necessarily play to their strengths, because in like bands where there's more focus on melody, and this is like a really huge generalization, you think that you want the instruments, unless they're doing something melodic, to like back off, so like the person who's singing can really get what they're saying across. That's not really what's going on here. It's like really still like very instrumentally in your face. So I'm not sure how well that kind of strategy works for them.
Yeah, I didn't read any interviews, and I didn't read any reviews. I have to confess, I don't know what the details are, but they are clearly very good at playing their fucking instruments. They could do kind of whatever they wanted to do, and they did this. So,
yeah. And I mean, I know this has sounded really negative thus far, but it's more disappointment than like me actually disliking the album. I still like the album pretty well. It's just when we get around to grades, it's just, you know, it was more mid-tempo than I was expecting. Yeah, it was more a lot of things than I was expecting, you know, because, and it's been a while since I've said this, but there are three things that I really like my bands to be. That is angry, political, and fast. And this was angry and political. It wasn't necessarily fast.
We had another album tonight that did not sound the way I thought it was going to sound. Oh, that's how it goes. I'm like, wait, what? Surprise! I'm like, oh, well, too late now.
So, wonder what album that is.
you know, I'm glad we listened to it, but I admit it. Everyone was surprised, but we're not talking about that album. We're talking about this one. So, yeah. Is it song time?
Yeah, let's do it.
Song time. What did you like, man?
What did I like? I thought the opener was okay. Scavenger, Cold, Rats was hilarious, but I liked it. Guernica, I liked a whole lot. To Whom It May Concern is just entirely too long, but I didn't hate them for trying to do it. What Kills Us All was all right, and Vultures and Butterflies was a decent closer.
Did you listen to the live tracks?
I did, but
kick ass live. I know you never. I know there's sort of externalities, but still, if anybody hear them live, I'm like, shit. Well, these guys.
That is a great point, and I'm glad you mentioned it because that made me wonder if listening to this live, I would like it better because those.
I thought the same.
Yeah,
it'd probably sound very different. One, the features would obviously be in it differently. The production, yes. I think it would, and we don't say this actually that often. But I think this band may be better live. Lamb of God is that way for you. I know.
Yeah,
it's what that's very much. Whereas Mastodon, you'd rather kill yourself either way, I assume.
I don't detest Mastodon Live. They're just uninteresting, just like their albums. So
it's an even worse charge. Shot down the street with him not even looking in their direction. It just gun just goes off.
So I just had a realization when I meant to make this comment earlier in comparing the albums to the previous one. Like the previous 2 weeks of and House Opportunities I'd listened to, they were very much Rust in Peace. This is very much the Euthanasia now.
Yeah. That's what I meant about the Chasing the Dragon. I heard your voice saying it because this is the vibe I got. And I have no evidence for that. But
when I say Chasing the Dragon, in terms of Megadeth, that's like Risk.
Well, that's a whole other thing. No, it's not that. That's not what I meant. This is much more. This is more Euthanasia. But that clearly was a turn to try and broaden their audience. So, and who am I to judge somebody who at album number 8 feels like they need to do that? So,
as for me, tracks, I'll say take the fucking ride. But if you're going to kick one off of this, it needs to be To Whom It May Concern. That album's like an albatross of 9 minutes for some reason. That, I mean, cool, but it's weird. Right in the middle of the album, just. Bloop, here we go. And it's like, okay, I guess we're doing a ballad for this long.
I guess we are. And again, I was like, is this what the last album sounded like? I was just really, and then I had to settle it. I'm like, oh no, okay, this is what I remember. Walking around an abandoned gas station in Kirksey listening to it. Like, it took me back. I'm like, oh, I remember listening to this. It was so good. Everything was dead outside. I guess that was probably winter too. It must have been.
Pretty close to it.
Winter adjacent, somewhere in there. Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't have a whole lot to add. I mean, I would just say take the ride. As I said, I enjoyed this record, but it was a little different than what I was expecting. Like Guernica. To Whom It May Concern is not my favorite song. I will not lie. But it is, as Ben noted, it sounds like we're being harsh. It's still, I think, a pretty good record, but it is not what their last one was for those of us who are thrash aficionados.
Yeah, I mean, if you like thrash, you're probably going to like this, regardless of the kind of maybe silly excursions into metalcore, but and like ballads. The only song that Ben didn't mention that I wanted to shout out was I Am Hatred. I really can't stand To Whom May Concern, and I can't really stand Vultures and Butterflies. I think for that reason, it's a really good record that they, a really good thing that they ended the record with those live tracks because they're much better to listen to, I think, than the sort of ballady stuff. It's just not my thing.
Word. So I guess it is now time to grade this thing.
Yeah.
You know, the self-titled from 2021 was either ranked 1 or 2 in my album of the year list. I don't really remember. This, I don't think, will be that high for this year, despite what I've said about the strength of relative albums this year. But overall, it is still a good album. So I guess I'm going to give it a B plus.
All right. I'm going to come in front of you. I'm going to give this an A minus, a 92.
I'm going to come between you and give it a 90. Because it doesn't quite, it's not the lightning in a bottle the last one was, which now I'd probably give a solid A, I admit, having listened to it more. But yeah, this is an A minus for me, a 90.
Okay. I guess y'all are a little bit more generous than I am, but I'm going to come all the way down to a B, an 85. Sure. I feel like this doesn't even touch the last record. But it doesn't mean it's bad by any means.
I mean, it's still only a 5-point spread. We're pretty tight in there. 7 points, I guess, you go to the 92.
But it does not go to grad school. I mean, it does not go to med school, so it damage shouldn't. Is done. They can thank Gabe personally for that. It's his fault.
I mean, make fewer ballots? I don't know. We'll maybe. See. Album 9 may be totally different again. So we'll see.
I was sent here to combat grade inflation. Y'all are inflating the shit out of this grade.
Yeah, Dean Martin is not happy.
Dean Martin's going to bring the hammer down.
He definitely is. The Boston Public School hammer. Who would buy this? I'd buy this. I mean, just this cover alone. My God.
Oh, definitely. Like, they're now to the point on release, their purchase, you know.
Yeah, this is good shit.
I'll see what I'd buy it.
I would buy the previous six, probably. I don't know if I'd buy this one.
The ennui with which Ben said, I know it's the completist of him that's making him. He's like, I get it.
I guess.
I need the set.
Well, I think this is something that... This is an album, like, back in the 90s, where, like, there are enough tracks on here that I like it that I probably would have bought it, but I wouldn't listen to the whole thing.
Yeah, for sure. I get that. Speaking of albums we might listen to, what album are we listening to next, Tracy?
Next, we're doing album of David's choosing and Poppy's newest released, Zig.
Is it metal? Nope. I mean, again, we didn't know. Anyway, it's fine. Ben opened the door. He broke the seal. So, and I feel like if we've reviewed them before, we have somewhat of a pass. But anyway, well, tune in to see if Poppy gets shot down in the street or accepted for who she is. Thunderdome Metal Reviews. Bacow.
Bacow.